The Campo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Fast and reliable AC service.
Welcome in, welcome in. Campo and Joe, Facebook Live. If you got the invite and you logged on, we appreciate it for sure. Joe C. from XL Primetime, 2 to 4. Afternoons right here on the Superstation. Our head coach, Dave Campo, as we get ready. Now, this man knows what it's like to go into the countdown to the draft. Yesterday was 17 days till the 17th pick. So today we're inside of 17 days, Coach. It's getting busy time, is it not?
It is. It is. And, of course, the draft is the lifeblood of professional athletics. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it exciting because, you know, everybody is looking at the draft,
right.
You know, based on what team they're with, you mm-hmm. know, what they enjoy, you know. And it just makes it fun because everybody's got their opinion. Just like in every field,
yeah.
But everybody's got an opinion, and sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So listen, we got to do some guessing, just like you out there have to do some guessing. I was trying to project where this team's going to go, and if we go back and look through this draft season, there's a lot that's gone on that's kind of, it's not pigeonholing this football team, but it's kind of pushing them in a direction, and it's just a number of different things that have happened that make you think that cornerback is a real, real priority, which I think has changed your draft board just a little bit, hasn't it, over the last couple of weeks?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think need comes into play a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at the guys that they've got at the corner position, you'd have to say, okay, well, there's some question on Darby about his, you know, whether he's injury prone or not, going to make it through the season. You got some young corners that really I'm kind of intrigued with Brown, mm-hmm. you know, because I think he's got the skills to be a man press kind of a guy,
yeah.
which they didn't do a lot last year, you
right.
know. And I think you have to be almost a little bit better player, in all honesty, to be a zone defender, because you're off receivers have their way of being able to go wherever they want to. You got to be smart. You got to be able to have good vision. But as a press corner, it's a little bit more about athletic ability. So they've got some young guys, Gregory Jr., some of these guys that I'd like to see what happens. But I do think if you just look at Tyson Campbell and you just look at Darby, mm-hmm. That's a position where you'd have to say, well, they lost their nickel.
Yeah.
So now that becomes a priority in my mind.
Well, in truth, they lost 3/5 of their secondary.
Yes, if you count the safeties,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, because you said goodbye to Rayshon, and Rayshon was a fairly pricey free agent going back 3 seasons. He did not play particularly well his first year, played really well with big plays in the second season. You were the one pointing out that he wasn't a great tackler down the stretch in 22, and then that might have caught up with him a little bit in 23. Bottom line is they let go of him.
Right.
And they let go of their other guy that was high-priced, another free agent in Darius Williams.
Right.
And then you say goodbye to Trey Herndon, you don't offer him something new. That's 3/5, Coach. That's
yes,
a lot.
Sir. Yeah, and the thing that and if you go to the safety position, you know, I think that they kind of addressed that a year ago with Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
and you know, I think he's going to be a starter one way or another. Then they bring in Savage, and mm-hmm. that's the interesting one to me because, you know, they played Gregory Jr. a lot at nickel. Well, they're talking about Savage going in and playing some nickel.
Yeah.
I saw him a little bit at nickel, but he was really a safety the majority of the time.
Yeah.
The one thing I do like about him, though, is he's very smooth and fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can see him being a nickel player.
Right.
So that's a position that you're going to be looking at if you don't take a corner that can play inside there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you always have to have a corner there. We had Darren Woodson who could mm-hmm. run and he was mm-hmm. physical. You know, a safety that can run sometimes is better,
yeah.
you know, because you have to play them both.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be an interesting guy to watch in OTAs and yeah. And during training camp.
So that is ideally what they're looking at is an interchangeable set of safeties in Antonio Johnson and Darnell Savage
right.
that could play nickel, play back,
right.
play the safety position.
And usually you're going to look at it just depends on how – good those guys are in that position, whether or not that you're going to draft a guy at mm-hmm. number 17 and have him come in and one of those corners be your normal nickel and
right.
then use the safeties as what we would call a big nickel or, you know, in maybe in earlier downs, you got a bigger guy in mm-hmm. there that can do some of the same things.
You know, I pointed out on X, on, you know, the discussion that was taking place whenever the move was made by Houston to go get Stephon Diggs.
Right.
And you could call a little bit of overreaction, but whatever. That's what you do in the offseason. You overreact. You're like, wait a dang minute. They just went and got a big playmaker, and we looked at his stats and so on and so forth. You and I talked about it. But anyway, when I went back and started looking at what this football team has done in terms of signing free agents, they brought a bunch of free agents in. But then I looked at Houston. I'm like, well, take a look at all the people that they brought in as well.
Oh, absolutely.
They brought some people in that it's going to be kind of just add water starters.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with the number of good players they brought in than I am specifically with Diggs or specifically with, you know, the fullback, the running back, Mixon. Mm-hmm. You know, they went out and they didn't stand pat. And that concerns me a little bit because I think that the mentality is we've got our guy at quarterback. We're going to have a window here. Let's go out and get players. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know, the other side of that is you don't panic because you don't worry about the guys that you're only going to see twice a year.
Right.
You worry about the guys that you got, the guys that you have.
The truth.
Here. And we brought in a number of guys. So to me, you look at them and you say, hey, I'm almost excited about it, to be honest with you, because I think the tougher the division is, you're more battle-tested. If we think we're good enough to be a playoff football team, then you have to go out and show it.
Well,
and that's where I think, you know, we're a 9-8 football team, so were they.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go out and show that we can do what we need to do.
It's funny. I go back and forth. I can do this on the college level. I can do this on the pro level. I'm going to do pro level since you're an old NFC East guy. Washington, Dallas, Philly, New York, they'd beat up on each other.
Right.
It might be just barely a couple of games over 500. They were battle-tested, and they certainly were successful.
Yeah.
Well, then it's kind of waned from the days that you guys were winning and the Giants were winning and Washington was winning. It's kind of waned a little bit. Then you go to the other side of it. The New England Patriots ruled the AFC East.
Right.
There was just lousy play from the Jets, mediocre play from Miami, from Buffalo until they got Josh Allen. And flipping Tom Brady and the Patriots were on autopilot until they got to the postseason. So there's really a couple different ways to look at it.
Yeah, well, I look at it from the standpoint that in some ways, and maybe this is just my insecurities as a coach, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a division like we did last year, and everybody in America is talking about how easy it was going to be for us.
I'm included.
You know, and now you go in and you don't have the same mindset as you do when you're playing for a national championship or a Super Bowl or whatever.
Right.
It's a different mindset, and it starts in the division. You have to win your division to have a shot to go forward.
And you got to give the division respect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you are right that it was a slap in the face.
Right.
It was humbling. It was all the other things that you want to say about it, but there's no question about it. Now, this football team knows what they got to do. Like you said, the respect meter went up. Houston owns the banner now. They own the title, the division. This team's trying to wrestle it back away from them. Meanwhile, Tennessee is trying to make moves. Obviously, Indy is in the conversation as well. So we get to the draft, and this is one scathing opinion of what Jacksonville has done in the draft, particularly when you go back and look at how many top 10 picks they've had. Now, this is from PFF. Like we said, you can take PFF every single time we bring them up. You can take them or leave them.
Yeah, right.
There's some interesting stuff, and then there's some stuff that just sounds like BS.
Yeah.
Just the metrics world. Yeah. Anyway, this is one of the comments from one of the guys breaking it down. They have selected 5 defensive linemen, only one of whom is still on the team, performing like first-round picks, Josh Allen. Trayvon Walker was a wild statement pick when Aiden Hutchinson had been the consensus top edge defender prospect all through the pre-draft process. Hutchinson notched 121 quarterback pressures last season, while Walker had just 102 over his first 2 seasons combined, earning PFF grades of 58.0, 53.9, negative. Jalen Ramsey was a home run pick, but the team then traded him away, while even Trevor Lawrence has yet to quite live up to his pre-draft billing as the best quarterback prospect to enter the league in a decade. So basically, they're taking a shot at what this football team has done, particularly with number 1 overall picks, top 5 picks, top 10 picks, which this team has lived in the top 10. Fair or unfair?
Oh, I think it's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when you look at the overall record of drafting here,
can't get away from it.
Has not been great over the years. And you'd have to say it's time that they hit on some people to get to the second contract guys. And that's where we've fallen away. And I'm not giving up on Strange. I'm not giving up on Bigsby.
Certainly should.
I think the Johnson kid's going to be a good pick. Washington has probably got a chance, the receiver, to be a decent pick from last year. But when you look at the guys that contributed, mm-hmm. You got to be concerned that only the Harrison pick mm-hmm. contributed, really. Johnson a little bit, but Harrison was really the only one.
And you got to give Balky credit, even though I like to slam him from time to time. I know fans do. But the difference between starters now coming out of the draft versus what Dave Caldwell typically did year in and year out, it is an improvement. Even though Bigsby and Brenton Strange and these guys were not good last year.
Right.
But if you go back, Coach.
The Campo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Fast and reliable AC service.
You go back to the 21 draft. Trevor Lawrence, no-brainer.
Right.
Travis Etienne,
yep.
Tyson Campbell,
yep.
Walker Little, Andre Sisco. Luke Farrell is still here.
Yeah.
So those are guys that all, even Walker Little's in a contract year, has got a chance to prove himself.
Right.
But if you go back before that, holy smokes. Okay, you go back to Josh Allen's draft. Josh Allen is still here. Juwan Taylor's gone. He got paid a big amount of money. Totally get it. This team wasn't going to do that. Josh Oliver gone. Quincy Williams turned into a good player up in New York. Raquel Armstead gone. Gardner Minshew, we know what kind of living he's made since then, since he was here. On Dontavius Russell. Bottom line is, you got one cat still wearing the teal and black
right.
from the 2019 draft, 2018 draft. They're all gone. Taven Bryan, DJ Chark, Ronnie Harrison. You can go on and on and on. The only guy they have from that draft, you ready, Coach? Logan Cook.
Yeah.
So they have one from 18, one from 19. Two from the next draft. Because gone is C.J. Henderson, gone is Kalavon, gone is Visca.
Yep.
They still have Devon. Gone is Ben Barge. Gone is Josiah Scott. They still have Shaq Quarterman and Daniel Thomas. So that's five over a three-year period of drafting.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Well, starting with what you said with ETN and Trevor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's been better. But the reason that we went out 2 years ago and got all those free agent guys mm-hmm. is because of failed drafts
right.
in
had
the past.
Had to.
I'm surprised, though, that we might have overestimated who we were 2 years ago and stood pat this past year. Mm-hmm. And then we really only hit on Harrison so far out of the draft that year.
Right.
So
yeah.
To me, this is a big year. To me, I think they made the football team better with the guys they brought in free agency, but now they have to cap it off with a good draft this year, in my mind.
And we do sound like we're preaching from time to time. Campo and Joe, we like to preach a little bit, but you got to be well coached.
Yep.
And this team has gone through some bad drafts, but they've also gone through some lousy coaching staffs too. And as good as a job this coaching staff did to turn things around in 22 – they fell off in 23. So they are charged once again with doing a better job coaching.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, to be honest with you, it's a little bit of an indictment on Doug because, mm-hmm. You can say whatever you want about Trent Baalke as far as drafting guys, but, he picked his staff.
Right.
And whenever you get rid of an entire coaching staff off one side of the ball, you made a mistake. I mean, sometimes you might lose a guy here or there because you don't think he's doing a great job. Mm-hmm. But when you get rid of the whole group, there's a little bit of an issue. I just look at that kind of like one of the things in the NFL that you don't have the opportunity to do mm-hmm. like you do on the college game is that you can't just get a guy from – if you can't get your guy, if I want Joe Coward and he's under contract over with
can't have him.
You can't get you.
Yeah.
You got to go with some guys that maybe some other guys are recommending or you might have known them as a young coach. You haven't worked with them in a while, those kind of things, and I think that's a difficult. I've been through that.
Yeah,
I've had to get rid of an offensive staff.
Yeah,
And so, you know, I made the same mistakes. You know, there's some issues there.
Yeah, you believe, you trust, you feel like the plan's there. You want to give someone a shot to prove themselves. Unfortunately, when they don't prove themselves, it comes back on you.
Absolutely.
It reflects poorly on you, unfortunately. There's no getting away from it. But, yeah, I do agree that Doug probably had a little bit of a come-to-Jesus meeting in a football world with himself. Like,
yes.
I'm going to lose my job if I don't do something about what these guys are doing.
Well, he made a decision in my mind that he could fix what was going on offense.
Yeah.
And we'll find that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on defense, he felt that it was too far gone for him to have influence himself. He needed a new direction.
All right, so let's talk about that 17th pick overall. And this is kind of an interesting exercise that I was looking at. And this is a group of scouts on one of the websites that's come together, and they've given out their draft grades. And Coach, hopefully, will be able to explain to all of us kind of where you're at with these draft grades. But just as a rule, they came up with a numbering system that could be as high as 10. And they went through and they put Marvin Harrison as the number one overall prospect, 9.7. What's interesting is the next guy with a 9.3, actually two guys with 9.3, Brock Bowers of Georgia,
right,
the tight end, and Drake May, the quarterback. 9.3 with the rankings. Then they go down the line. Caleb Williams, just a decimal point back. Joe Alt, a 9. Odunze, 8.9. They go through a handful of these guys. So before I get to the pack at 17, if we were to go from 8.8 to 8.5, how much different is that player-wise? How much less of a player are you getting? And again, this is just your draft grade.
Not much.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. To me, the whole thing is it would not surprise me in the least if Marvin Harrison wasn't number one on 20 draft boards.
Yeah.
But the quarterback position overrides that position if you need one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it goes, right? Well, it's kind of the same thing. When you give a guy a draft grade of an 8.5 or an 8.3, all of the 8s are going to be pretty good football players. And I don't know what their drafting system is, but if I look at ours, they probably give 8s as a first-round grade, 7s as a – this guy might be a guy that can be a starter in a couple of years. It goes down the line.
Like as an example, at 24, you see it drop below 8.
Yeah.
Which is kind of your rule.
That's my. That's what I say. When you get to numbers, to me, most of the draft boards are not going to have, unless it's a very unusual year. Most of the draft boards are not going to have. I'm going to say I'm even being over the top, saying 20.
Okay.
A lot of them only have 16 or 15 guys.
I was
would say they feel that that guy has all the tools to be a definite hit in those first 15. And then the other guys, they start to come together.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between 8.3 and 7.9 is not very much.
Okay. That's what I'm curious about because, like, I always would think two-thirds of the draft in the first round, 24 out of 32, would have the potential – three-fourths, however you want to describe this, would have the potential to be a big star. And I like to look at that cutoff around, say, 21, 22, like a Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, in other words, I say 16, but it could be 21
the
year he comes out or whatever. It just to find 31 guys that you say or 32 guys that you say these guys are legitimate, take them, he starts for you. You move forward. They're just not there most of the time.
All right, so let's hit the Jags and just spend a little bit of time on this. The cornerback position, the rush in, based on the fact that Ryan Nielsen's going to go four down as far as his lineman goes, a 4-2-5 is what you're thinking more than anything else defensively. End, corner. You can throw the lineman in there. You can throw the receiver in there. I throw the defensive tackle in there. But these are guys, Coach, that are all around that 8.4, okay? And then they start to go down to 8.1, right around where Jacksonville is selecting, okay? So Leitu Latu, the defensive end from UCLA, 8.4. Same grade for J.C. Latham, the lineman out of Alabama. Same grade for Dallas Turner, the edge. Probably not going to see him. Kool-Aid McKinstry, another Bama player. Coach, that's three Bama players that are 8.4 right there.
Those.
Dang, Nick kicked butt.
Yeah.
And then you go to Troy Fitanu, 8.3 interior offensive lineman is where they see him early. And then Byron Murphy, Brian Thomas are 8.1. So I'm just going to let you look at that. So what would you fight with in terms of making a decision? I like the grade. I like the player. I have the need. How do you wrestle with those numbers?
Well, to me, the difference between 8.4 and 8.1 is not a lot.
Not much, right?
So I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to say, let's say in that situation, if there were that many guys at that spots mm-hmm. in the draft, I would consider backing up.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
If you get somebody to come up there.
Because if I've got five guys mm-hmm. and I can back up three spots, I'm going to get one of those five.
Okay. That's a good way to look at it.
And then the other way to look at it is which ones are in position to help me score points.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, to me, when you look at those things, the offensive tackle.
Right. The Fitanu selection.
Because if they're these are the mm-hmm. guys. Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know if those are the guys. Right. I'm just saying that's what they have.
Yeah.
The offensive tackle is one of those guys. The receiver is one of those
Brian
guys.
Brian Thomas.
When I say the offensive tackle, because you're protecting the guy that's going to sure. win the game for you.
Heck yeah.
The receiver. And then, you know, from there, it kind of goes to which one services my need.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be corner. You know, it might be McKinstry. It mm-hmm. might be whoever, you know, they have in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And then the defensive lineman, you win up front. So every one of those guys in there, if there was any one of those guys we took,
right.
I'd be happy with the pick.
Mm-hmm.
If that's where they have everybody graded.
And I do love the idea. I'm sure Jack fans love the idea too. If you can be a little aggressive knowing that you have, as Coach described, a pile of five.
Right.
And you might have somebody that wants to go up and get just that one guy, that one position, and you're going to move back, collect some capital. Trent, if you collect some capital, do something good with it, man, and then drop back and have the benefit of still selecting a good player and getting some extra.
Yeah, and I think the where you run into a little problem is that if you got five guys in the spot and you can't back up,
mm-hmm.
then it becomes need.
Right.
You know, and I'm talking about if they're all graded relatively the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now if there's a guy that's up here at mm-hmm. 8.9
right.
that slips down there. Ooh. Then you take them.
Let me give you 8.9. Rome Odunze.
Yeah, okay.
Let me give you Oli Fashanu from Penn
exactly.
State. Yeah. Malik Nabers is an 8.8.
Yeah.
You're hearing a little bit about him right now, which
absolutely.
I wonder if people's putting some bad mojo on Malik Nabers to try and get him to fall
right.
a little bit. Jared Verse is 8.7.
Right.
And he's the ninth prospect, at least according to these guys. Quinyon Mitchell, which is one of the cornerbacks
right.
that Jacksonville loves, and Terry and Arnold are both 8.5.
Right.
And so, yeah, Coach, now let's just slide down here. I'm going to jump into the second round because they're picking. When you start to figure out if they go one position in the first round,
right.
they're going to start looking for best available. But I just figured I'd show you some of these 7.4s, and you've got a cornerback that's the 44th prospect. TJ Tamp out of Iowa State.
Yep.
Roman Wilson is a guy that I really like, the wide receiver out of Michigan. Javon Bullard is definitely a respected safety. You got Darius Robinson. That dude is strong.
Absolutely.
Inside that Missouri front. Anyway, you got a handful. Kamari Lassiter is another really, really talented player out of Georgia. He also has about the same grade. X-Worthy, lightning fast,
yep.
decent amount of catches at Texas. Anyway, that's not a bad group.
Well, I think
for the
that
second round pick.
If we had them graded that way right there, then that, in my mind, there's a couple of receivers there.
Mm-hmm.
I would have them grouped as well
okay.
at that spot where
right.
we're picking. And I would then lean towards going not taking a receiver
mm-hmm.
if I've got three receivers in a little box right there. And that's how I look at it. Or if you take the receiver and all of a sudden you got – Cooper Beebe and some of the guys
mm-hmm.
that you look at as an interior lineman,
yeah.
then you go with the receiver and take the interior lineman second. It just
yeah.
depends on what you have, how you have them graded.
Yeah, because it's so funny. If you take a look at these guys and you can throw X-Worthy from Texas, you
yep.
can throw who's the other guy? Adnai Mitchell is
yep.
another guy that people have been talking about.
Yep.
He's a 7.3. And then the other guy that is right there as well. Roman Wilson, 7.4. Yeah. So those are three wide receivers that are just a decimal point apart.
Absolutely. And to me, that is how you group guys together. You group them based on where you have them graded in relationship to where you are. And, as a lot of the trades that are made, for example, are based on, I'll trade with you if you're not taking my guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say, so tell me who you're taking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brandon.
That's a handshake.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take your guy. Tell me who you're taking, and then we'll make a deal.
Yeah, don't hose me.
Yeah.
Brandon Bean Balky conversation.
Correct.
Remember?
Correct.
With the Brenton Strange deal.
Strange, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, you know, it's a playmaker.
Yeah.
Not a big man.
Yeah.
You know, and so he just wanted, he was going to give everything away.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that's what they did.
Right.
And so if you're looking at this football team, and this kind of goes back to our discussion as we'll wrap up our discussion today, is that you have brought a number of free agents in to take up starting spots. You have basically renewed, I think I had the number, 4 starters on the offense, about 6 or 7 starters on the defense that are here. And the other ones, you've already dropped in offensive and defensive free agents to come in here and start. That's not a great thing. They better find some more guys that are legitimate candidates to come in and replace those free agents.
Well, what it does do, if you've done the job you feel you've done in free agency like they did 2 years ago, it forces you, it allows you not to do what you had to do last year. Mm-hmm. Even though Harrison was a great pick for us, we were forced to take Harrison because of the situation with Cam Robinson.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's what you want to avoid by bringing in free agent guys. Plus, you know what they can do. Mm-hmm. So if they do what you hope they will do, then you've improved your football team.
Yeah.
And I think Trent Baalke has done a pretty good job in the past of bringing in free agents that have helped the football team going forward. So that's what we're hoping for this year.
Fingers crossed, people.
That's it.
All of Duval. All right, listen, we'll get closer next week. We'll be counting it down. We'll be just outside of a week before they start to make their draft. 16 days today. Thanks for listening, Joe C. Afternoons 2 to 4. We'll have our head coach, Dave Campo, in there with us hanging out today. So tune in to the Superstation.
This presentation of the Campo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Faster, reliable AC service.